When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh. There's Chuck. Jerry's floating around out there somewhere, and Dave C. is here in spirit, so the gang is all ready to go with Short Stuff. Let's talk about funerals, baby. Let's talk about you being dead. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that happen to your head after you die. Yeah.
Man, we should just stop and end this episode because it'll be the best episode in the history of the show.
All right. Well, that's it for Short Stuff, everybody. Short Stuff is out.
Oh, wait. We got to stop for an ad break.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So we're talking about funerals, and we've talked a little bit about this stuff over the years in our death suite. And I think we actually did one on things to do with a dead body way back in the day.
Oh, yeah, we've talked a lot about this kind of stuff.
But the notion that we're tackling today is that since the 1960s and up until the 1960s, Americans, and especially American Christian people, had one kind of funeral, and that was largely dictated, a.k.a. shoved down our throats, by the funeral industry.
If you wanted to fit in America, you had to be presented upon your death in a certain way. And that meant being embalmed, put in a suit or dress, whatever your preference was, and be presented in a casket, usually open for like your friends and family to dress in black and come kind of grieve over you. And it was a very solemn, unhappy affair.
When was the last time, not to get too personal, but that you had to go to an open casket scene?
I don't remember, honestly.
It's been a while for me.
Yeah, I genuinely don't remember because it is kind of like old school, you know, but, you know, it still happens every once in a while. I don't remember, Chuck, but I mean, I have been ever since I was a little kid. My mom was like, it's time for you to learn about death.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm only two. She's like, yeah, it's a little late, frankly.
Yeah, all I know is the last few that I've been to, and in fact, most that I've ever been to, which haven't been that many, I have always just been like, you know, like, do you want to go up and say goodbye to your grandmother? And I've always been like, nope, I've done that in my head, in my heart. So I do not need to go see that weird, powdery, waxy figure that looks nothing like her in real life.
Do you want to go smell grandma's hair one last time?
God. Yeah, I've never been into it. And we're both kind of on record with that over our shows over the years. But this whole thing started to kind of change with a book in 1963 that I kind of want to read now from Jessica Mitford called The American Way of Death, where she really kind of exposed the U.S. funeral home industry as being not so great.
Yeah, basically she portrayed it as an entire industry built around taking advantage of people in a really predatory way during a really vulnerable moment when they're grieving, when they're at their weakest. These skells come in and start being like, well, of course you need this, and the deceased would want that. And
the platinum package.
Cha-ching, 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 right? They got like the cash register dollar sign cartoon wolf eyes. That's basically how she portrayed it. It was a really, I think she wrote an article at first and it got very little attention, and then it was turned into a book. I think she went on TV and it ended up becoming a book and really had a huge effect on how people viewed funerals from that point on.
Yeah, and I guess maybe we should just caveat this now and say if we have listeners that work in the funeral industry, we're not coming after you here. This was a book that was written in the 1960s, and we realize it's a business, a for-profit business, and upselling is part of that business. And it just takes on a bit of a, I guess, sort of an untoward feeling when it's dealing with people while they're grieving, but that's also the business you're in. So I'm not slamming you if you work for, I have one across the street. They're very nice people. I live across from a funeral home that's lovely. Mm-hmm. But having said that, stop it. No, things have changed a lot over the years. In the 1960s, the cremation rate was 3%.
Right.
And which is astounding. And now it's 51%, and it's going to go up to about 57 or 58% by 2022, it seems like.
Yeah. And that was a big effect that Mitford had with her book, The American Way of Death. It was like you just did not get cremated before then. And then all of a sudden, and she, by the way, she had a very cheap funeral, including being cremated. I read that she spent less than, I think, $800 in today's dollars.
Oh, nice.
On her own funeral. But because of this, it kind of made it like okay to not go through all this rigmarole and to not even like preserve the body. And I was reading about that, preserving the body. Like there's this idea that that had been around for a really long time. Like, I don't know if it was so that you looked your best when God told everybody to stand up in their graves and be judged or what.
Peter.
But that guy. But apparently it was Abraham Lincoln that really kicked off the American trend for embalming. He had his son embalmed. He was a big devotee of embalming. And then when he was embalmed and he made a whistle-stop tour after death, that was like the first time a lot of Americans ever saw an embalmed body. And like it basically started this trend that lasted for a good century or more.
Yeah, so let's take a break, and we'll talk about kind of how this cultural shift fit in with all the other cultural shifts that were happening in the 1960s right after this.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
All right, so 1960s come along. This book is written in the early 60s. The counterculture arrives. People start doing drugs, start exploring different kinds of spirituality. Including what they think about the afterlife. Mm-hmm. And sort of one of the natural things that happened was funerals started to change a little bit to compare, you know, to kind of lean toward more what we think of them today in today's terms.
Yeah, that was a big part of it. You know, this idea of, you know, taking acid and thinking about being embalmed is not, they don't really go hand in hand. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's a really easy way to decouple yourself from the traditional ideas of funerals is to take LSD.
I only inject heroin into my body, man. Not formaldehyde.
Exactly. So that was a big part of it in addition to Mitford's book. I think her book came at a really like good time.
Totally.
I think it had an impact because the general awakening of people and the movement away from religion in a lot of ways, not necessarily away from spirituality, but, you know, there's this guy that's interviewed in this How Stuff Works article who is the, I think, the dean of religious studies at Emory University. So he's like big wig, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Gary Lauderman. And he points out that that if you are talking about religion, like religion's bread and butter, it's basic business is death in the afterlife. So it has all sorts of ideas and very clear guidelines about how you're supposed to behave upon death and how your body's supposed to be treated upon death. And if you're religious, you follow those. But if, as a country, America started to get less and less religious, those kind of constrictions fell away too.
Yeah. And, you know, the idea that the other thing, a big thing that's changed and changed things funeral-wise is it used to be very vague in your will. Like, funerals were just kind of done one way. So when you died, that was expected. And starting in the 60s and definitely in the past couple of decades, people have gotten way, way more specific in their what they want, like, for their own funeral arrangements. And it's leaned more toward, and they've even changed the nomenclature from funeral service to memorial service, and then eventually the celebration of life. And things have just gotten a lot less rigid, a little lighter and more celebratory. Mm-hmm. Like, don't wear black. I want you to play, you know, craft work, and I want alcohol served, and I want it to be outdoors and scatter my ashes in my favorite, you know, dog park.
And then, Chuck, so if you're running a funeral home these days, you're trying to keep up with this crazy, changing, wacko time for how funerals are carried out, or sorry, celebrations of life are carried out. You have to kind of get more creative now than you did before. And I came across a blog post on funeralone.com or funeralone.com, depending on how you want to say it. And it's, I think, like 20-something creative ideas for a funeral. One of them, number 10, really sticks out to me. They point out, as long as it wasn't a tragic death, you can insert a bit of humor by passing out Mad Libs for people to create about the deceased.
Okay, sure.
And I think it's smart of them to caveat that as long as it wasn't a tragic loss, because that definitely does kind of change the tone of something. Even today, even in today's, you know, whacked out, alcohol-fueled celebrations of life, if it's a tragedy that led to the death, it's still going to be pretty somber. This is typically for things like, you know, somebody who I don't know, where their death wasn't a tragedy. I don't think there's really any other way to put it.
Yeah. What else
you got? Create number 14, create a memorial hashtag.
Okay. Hashtag too soon?
They give an example. Hashtag remember Grandma Smith.
Okay.
But they've shortened Grandma to GMA.
All right.
So it could also be remember Good Morning America Smith.
I think we settled on, I know you've changed your mind since then, but you were going to be shot out of a cannon or something.
Yeah.
And then I was always into the sky burial, and Emily was just like, nah. Like, I'll make you into a tree, but I don't want vultures eating you, for God's sakes.
Sky burial is pretty hardcore, man, for sure. Yeah, I used to really be into myself, so I wanted to be shot out of a cannon. Now I'm like, yeah, I think I'd just rather be cremated and spread somewhere nice.
Okay.
So I've got one more for you.
Yeah, what you got?
Number 17, celebrate life fun with bubbles. So, you know, basically what they're saying is the funeral industry has gone into the wedding industry,
right,
and wedding reception industry, and said, we could translate a lot of these to these celebrations of life because they're both celebrations. And that's kind of where we're at with funerals right now.
That's right. There's no wrong way to do it. If you are still into an open casket and that traditional funeral service, there are certainly businesses that can accommodate that. And we're not going to yuck anyone's yum, even in death.
No, we're not, unless you fall for number 18, which is to host icebreaker games, which it doesn't matter whether it's a corporate function, a wedding, or a funeral. Icebreaker games are horrible to everybody across the board. Just don't do that. No one wants to go out like that. Yeah. Since Chuck said we'll judge you for that, that means that Short Stuff is done, and Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.